foragers doing at the time. Those sound pulses have been shown to get shorter or longer according to the distance that the bee is traveling. That's never been correlated with this sort of reference.
But some of them were made up from only a few reeds, one or two of these raw reeds, while some of these contigs were made up of up to 1,000 different raw reeds. So there's kind of this heterogeneity in that. But doing this procedure, we found some problems that were caused by this type of assembly. And it was mainly based that this assembly algorithm put things together that were similar, but this 16S ribosomal RNA sequence is highly conserved across all of bacteria. So sometimes these short reads didn't have enough phylogenetically relevant data inside of them to correctly align everything. So overall, it worked in identifying 5 main classes of bacteria, but the specific types of these bacteria were kind of a cloudy issue. So to get at these specific types of bacteria, we had to use a PCR procedure that used universal 16S ribosomal RNA primers, followed by cloning and subsequent sequencing to get 428 bacterial sequences out. And with this data, we were able to say that there was more than likely no correlation between bacteria and colony collapse disorder. And I mean no correlation because there was no type of bacteria that was found only in colony collapsing or CCDBs. And there was no consistent change between bacterial community in these CCDBs, and there was no known bacterial pathogens of honeybees in these bees as well. However, there was something that came out of this that was very interesting. And this is that these 5 classes of bacteria that were found in the metagenomic survey were also came up in this clone PCR-based method. And with this more specific procedure, we were able to find that there was actually 8 common members, and these were specific types. So the 5 classes of bacteria, as you can see here, were the gamma proteobacteria, beta proteobacteria, alpha proteobacteria, firmicutes, and actinobacteria. And within this piece of the pie that's green, all these sequences have 99 to 100% sequence similarity, inferring that these are actually one bacterial species. So out of the 428 sequences from both of these collapsing and non-collapsing pools of bees, only 17 were not from these. Only 17 sequences, as represented in the black, were not one of these 8 different bacterial species. So to get a little bit more information about these 8 types of bacteria, we searched GenBank with BLAST, and GenBank has about 75 million sequences, so it's... So these four sequences or studies aren't the only studies that have looked at bacteria inside of bee guts. When you look back in the literature, you find many different studies, but the difference is in these studies that were done previously took a culture-based, they were culture-based studies. So Martha Gilliam's work from the mid-70s to the late 90s is a really good cross-section of what was going on. And in this work, she found that there was a high correlation between honeybees and these species of bacteria, or these bacillus species of bacteria. But in all of these studies that she and others performed, they found none of these 8 bacterial types that come up in these culture-independent methods, indicating that the bacteria, that these 8 types of bacteria are truly unculturable, or at least fastidious in nature. But this is becoming more common for microbiology in general. As people look at environmental samples, they find that up to 99% of the bacterial diversity in soil and really anything, sometimes is unculturable. So instead of getting these petri dishes full of bacteria, you actually get these DNA sequences that you get on a computer, and then you have to use a database like GenBank to see what types of bacteria you actually have. And in a final conclusion, Dr. Gilliam, in a paper that she was summing up the work that had been done up to 1997 on these B bacteria interactions, she stated that over 6,000 microbial strains associated with bees and their food have been isolated and identified. Our aim has been to understand the relationships of bees and microbes in order to increase bee productivity for pollination purposes. And it's really interesting that these new culture-independent methods have gone in and found, or have narrowed this wide breadth of bacteria that was 6,000 in 1997 to down to only 8 or so members that are associated with bees all around the world and in every case that it's been looked at. So it really gives us a direction to go in these bee-bacteria interactions. And so, conclusions, bacteria are more than likely not the cause of colony collapse disorder. The bacteria that was found in the bees is not known honeybee pathogens. Honeybees have about 8 bacterial types that reside in their guts, which is consistent with some type of normal gut flora that these bees have all the time. And these new methods have identified a small set of bacteria that we should focus on in future studies. And this future research could be directed around determining the role of these gut bacteria on bee health, and as they could provide some type of nutritional benefit to the bees, they could provide some type of defense for the honeybees, or some type of immunity to pathogens. And some possible approaches of looking at how these bacteria affect the honeybees are experimentally by treating them with antibiotics, thus curing the bacteria out of the bees and seeing what kind of fitness costs are enacted on these bees. And then also trying to perform another metagenomic study, but this time trying to sequence the bacterial genomes that are inside of these bees to see what type of metabolic pathways are inside of them, or how they are living. So I'd just like to thank everyone here, and especially Sean Conlon, because with all the work on the bacteria that he helped out, everybody else on the paper in science, it gave me a great chance to start my career, I guess, and some funding sources, and of course the ESA. So thank you.
Protostructor is a parasitic mite on honeybees. Even with the colony collapse disorder phenomenon, it is still the most important problem that bees face. It's been around for 20 years. It's been around for 20 years, and still beekeepers have no efficient control of it, and nor do they have any kind of standard sampling plan in order to detect their infestation levels and make educated treatment decisions. The goal of my research is to give them a standard sampling plan. So, Varroa destructor feeds on the hemolymph of honeybees, both the adults and pupae, causing a number of different symptoms, including reduced body weight, a shortened lifespan, a suppressed immune system, and they also transmit a number of different viruses. If the colony is not treated, then the colony will die in a few years. Despite the importance of this pest, there is still no standard sampling method. There are a number of different methods created, including looking at the pupa, monitoring natural mite fall, and mechanically dislodging mites. However, these do not necessarily translate into the same levels of infestation, and they have varying degrees of accuracy. And if beekeepers use one of these sampling methods, then they generally use it for presence-absence instead of quantification, And many beekeepers simply treat by the calendar and just irrespective of mite level. So beekeepers need a tool that they will use in order to detect their infestation levels and make educated treatment decisions. So the goal of my research is to give them this plan in order so they can sample either a colony or a group of colonies in apiary in order to detect their levels. So in order to do this, I need to find the distribution of mites both within a colony and among colonies within an apiary, because then I'll know where the mites are congregating and where I need to sample in order to capture that variation. So beekeepers keep their colonies in boxes. So the boxes are stacked upon one another, and in the boxes are vertically